My name is Lynn Nyongweso. Welcome to another episode of I'm Trying, I Promise. Today, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to get heated. I am very biased on this topic, so don't expect too much of me being impartial. I'm just going to go for it, okay? So let's ask these questions.
Life is hard, so why not take a minute, maybe 20, and just talk with me? Let's figure it out together. My name is Lynn Nyongweso. Welcome to another episode of I'm Trying, I Promise. And today, we're asking an important question.
Is fat an insult? Yeah, we're going to talk about it. So if you don't know my career, I was a media personality for a very long time. I don't know. I suppose in some way I still am, I guess. But one of my claims to fame was not once, not twice. I trended on Twitter mostly. And I was like the highest trending topic in my country, which is wild because you'd think like that would happen if I dropped a sick mixtape or something. But no. I trended because my big secret was revealed, okay? Apparently, I was hiding it so well. And when people found out, they were shook. They felt like I was being dishonest because I sound so attractive. And they found out I was fat. And that was hurtful to many. So it ended up being a thing where every time people would find out that I am an overweight woman, that I am an obese woman, that I am fat, they would put up pictures of me. Unflattering pictures, always unflattering pictures. And it wasn't that I was hiding it. I think that I've just been a fat woman for so long, I didn't think that I had to have a coming out party, you know? Like, I didn't think I had to declare it to the world, I'm fat and I'm proud. Because it's still a thing that is stigmatized, and I think most of the problem is that it's an allowed stigma. It's an accepted stigma. It's a thing that when people fat shame, it's not as bad, you know, because it's like, you're just being really helpful. I'm just telling you you're unhealthy. I care about you. But that's half the problem, right? Do you care if you're going to care through insults? Like, nobody ever told me, like, girl, you're gonna die soon. No offense. It was offense. If you have to start with no offense, you're offending people. Just stop. It's not cute. So I decided, let's talk about it, okay? Last week, I was talking about how, what's the one thing you feel judged about? 90% of my responses on my Instagram were women and men telling me that they felt most judged about their bodies and their weight. I got a few people who said that they were too small, and that was still something that they were being judged about. A thriving mama reached out to me on Instagram, and she told me that her problem is she has two babies, two beautiful children, and she was always getting criticized by family members, by people everywhere, because she was always smaller, even after having babies. And then there's the complete opposite of the spectrum, where it's like, no matter what you do, if you are fat, if your BMI doesn't fit this ideal that was created by, I don't know who, based on some white man's body in like 1964, if it doesn't fit that structure, then it's okay for people to be mean, okay? So let's talk about it. There was a study published in the Archives of Internal Medicine, and it was shocking for most people when these numbers came out, but it wasn't really spoken about because it didn't fit the narrative that fat people are bad, okay? And this study stated that being overweight doesn't necessarily make you unhealthy. According to researchers in both the United States and in Germany, these studies were conducted, overweight people have a 50-50 chance of having high cholesterol, high blood pressure, or elevated sugar levels, which are pretty good odds. Like, 50-50 chance is, you can play it right, you can eat healthy, you can try to, you know, maintain your lifestyle, and hopefully not ever have to deal with these problems. But it was not as good because people with a normal weight range, they had around a 75% chance of having normal results when it came to blood sugar, cholesterol, and all that. So which meant that if you were obese, your chances were only increased by 25%. But people want to believe this study didn't happen and want to believe that anybody who looks fat has these diseases coming their way. But in truth, I only have a 25% more chance of doing it. But that's also increased by lifestyle, by drinking, by alcohol, by smoking, by anything else, really. So it's not just what you see and the judgment you put on somebody because they look a certain way that increases their levels of risk when it comes to these disorders and these diseases. So you saying it because you're worried about somebody's health. Worry about your own health, sis. We're all in this together. Okay, now the definition of an ideal body weight has been a thing that even scientists have argued for a very long time, okay? So perceptions of how people fit into their clothes is how industries flourish, right? Because then we're creating a whole industry of weight loss and dieting and diet culture that is now a multi-billion dollar business worldwide. And so why would they ever stop? Okay, if you feel bad in how you look, you're going to come and give us your money. Why would we ever tell people not to be mean to you? It just doesn't make sense for business. So that's where the diet culture comes in. So when I was doing my research, I was talking to a woman. She decided to stay anonymous, so we'll call her Rachel. Rachel talked to me, and I felt like she was just telling me my story back to me. And it's a story I hear a lot, and a lot of you who reached out to me, thank you so much for interacting with me on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, on email at imtryinglinda@gmail.com. Thank you. I got a lot of voice notes, but this one specifically stood out to me because she seemed to have gone through the dieting rat race that we all do.
Last year when the pandemic hit, I was at my worst. I weighed my worst. I looked my worst. I was just not feeling myself. So I decided to start working out. And I started eating healthy. Although once in a while, I would hide away in my room with some fries, you know, some breakfast, some sausages, some And I would hide in my room and just gobble up because I was ashamed of eating in public. And I was doing hashtag lifestyle change, hashtag. But it wasn't so.
So the other thing is the diet culture is sold mostly to women, right? You are made to feel either by the stores you go to where you see a woman wearing this outfit and you try it on and it just doesn't look the same on you. Or if you've experienced it from where an overweight person, a bigger person like myself, a larger woman, you walk into a shop and not only do they not cater for your size at all, so you're always feeling weird being there like you don't belong, and they will make it very clear to you as soon as you walk in. Trust me, they will find you and tell you, sorry, we don't have that in your size, before you even ask for anything. Like, I'm coming here for a scarf, lady, come on. But it's so ingrained in us that how we look should always be a point of shame. And so we give into a lot of diet culture.
Like everywhere I went, I was either fat or like I was not accepted in the society. So one day I just decided I'm tired of crying, I'm tired of being criticized. And so I changed my whole wardrobe. I stopped wearing the colorful, pretty clothes. I started wearing dark, baggy clothes because I didn't want anyone to know this is the body I have. And once I did that, there was no difference. I got low self-esteem. I didn't want to hang out with anyone. I lost half of my group of friends, you know. And it just became me. It just became me. And I was so sad.
And now you find that weight loss clinics, according to a study, weight loss clinics, gyms, and fitness centers, liposuction, gastric bypass surgeries are a huge deal in this world. And it's not only targeting people with money who can afford to go for these expensive surgeries. It's the idea that you have to count carbs, count calories. And we see, like, we had a famous fitness guy, Kenyan fitness dude, go on his little Instagram. It's much bigger than mine. I'm just being petty. He went on Instagram and he was taking a picture of himself on the street, and he was pretty much fat shaming people. He's talking about, like, look at your belly. Are you happy with that? Like, boy, it is Monday morning. Can I just live? Leave me alone. Nairobi traffic is already bad enough. I do not need you. Okay. Now, studies in the Archives of Internal Medicine have found that health is more than meets the eye. That study stated it years ago, but still, we don't want to listen to it because it's making people money to remain fat and sad, not fat and trying to be healthy, just fat and sad. That's where the sweet spot is for making money. This is what that young woman had to say.
I was on vitamins, I was on supplements, I was working out twice a day, and I started seeing actual changes. Even people around me noticed that I had actually started to change. And they start, oh, you look better than you used to look. You're more beautiful. You're more, you know, I can date you now. And I was like, why couldn't you tell me that then? But when you see a slight change in me, you start complimenting me.
So from listening to her, I think that at some point, if you have been on the roller coaster of dieting all your life, you've come to that one piece of research that said there was such a thing as healthy obesity, okay? Dr. William Johnson of the School of Sport, Exercise, and Health Sciences in the United Kingdom said that the words healthy obesity should be retired, okay? So although he writes, it is undeniable that obesity is bad for health, but there are clearly differences between individuals in the extent of which it is bad. So one person might look completely healthy, perfect BMI, but internally they're not okay. One person might look fat and struggle with their weight and have the same health problems as this person, while it could be the polar opposites. Now, I'm not taking away from the fact that, you know, we have this movement right now of body positivity and all bodies are good bodies. That's where I stand. All bodies are good bodies, because it doesn't negate health, okay? It doesn't mean that just because you are you're sick, you have an illness that you're dealing with, that your body is broken. It means that every single body that you present yourself in is a good body, so that whatever you choose to do to help yourself be your best self is good. And I am here for it, and I'm cheering you on. And sometimes we get on these health kicks as bigger women because we feel like we have to.
One day I looked at myself in the mirror with all this change I had gone through. I was now looking my best, because I was now looking different, and I admired that. But I was not comfortable. I was getting too much attention. There was attention from all sides, attention I had not seen in a while. I was getting attention because my body changed slightly. And I was like, oh my, I'm not comfortable.
I don't know if I can ever explain to you what it feels like to know that everyone is staring at you. Now, I know I have friends who are like perfect supermodels who will tell me like, oh, everyone's looking at me. And I'm like, girl, yeah. I mean, Gisele Bündchen, of course, everyone is looking at you. But then when you're a larger woman, especially in Africa, because I feel like in Africa, there is no, people will stare at you and they will come up to you and ask you, why are you so fat? Like, there is no filter. There is no like common courtesy where they're just whispering beneath their breath. This is like you walk into a room and you know that everyone is looking at you and judging you and has already decided that you are ugly, that you are stupid, because for some reason, studies have shown that people who judge fat people, including fat people themselves, have this preconceived notion that fat people are not only stupid, they are unclean, they're unhealthy, they don't care about themselves, and their IQ is lower than most. So I know those judgments happen for me as soon as I walk into a room. So I became that person who overcompensated for it. I always tried to do the most to kind of, because I know you've already made these judgments of me, I'm going to make it so that in a few months, you're going to look at me and be like, you know what, maybe I was wrong, but I have to work for it. It's that whole idea of Black excellence as well. I know it's not the same thing, but it is kind of similar in the sense that we have this pressure to be Black excellence, that there's no room for just Black okayness. Like, I don't have to be excellent all the time to make white people like me and stop being racist. I could just be okay. Bare minimum Black, and that should be okay. And it should be the same as like being a bigger person, where you don't have to do the most and work so hard and, you know, conquer and struggle for people to take you more seriously and not think these horrible things about you, right? So as you can see over there, our friend, we said we're calling her Rachel, was a yo-yo dieter. That's what it's called. And that phrase was coined a long time ago before we realized just how toxic diet culture is for anyone. So diet culture has many definitions and facets, but in a nutshell, it's a set of beliefs that worship thinness and equate it with health and moral virtue, according to one of the biggest anti-diet dietitians, Christy Harrison. And I love that I was put on her. I think she's brilliant. She's a dietitian who talks about eating instinctively and intuition being the thing that drives how you eat and how you put food in your mouth, as opposed to diet culture. She's actually written a book called Anti-Diet and has a dietitian podcast called the Food Psych Podcast. You should definitely listen to it. Brilliant. And diet culture has become so dominant that it's like, it's just the norm now, right?
I lose weight very fast. I can also gain weight very fast. And so every time I lost weight, it was something like, oh, you look different, you look more beautiful, you should go on with what you're doing. Or when I gained weight, it was, where? You're a hippo. You look ugly. And people would say this to my face without filters.
So I'm going to quote this New York Times article that said, think of diet culture as the lens through which most of us in our lives view beauty, health, and our own bodies. A lens that colors our judgments and decisions about how you feel, about how you treat yourself. Diet culture places thinness as this pinnacle of success and beauty. Diet culture, there is a conferred status to people who are thinner, and it assumes that eating in a certain way will result in the right body size, the correct body size, and good health, and that it's attainable for anybody who has the right willpower and the right determination. This was from a therapist named Judith Matz. And she's the author of Body Positivity Card Deck and the Diet Survivor's Handbook, which is huge. It says that not only are thinner people being put at risk by diet culture to maintain this look, this aesthetic, because that's the correct body, but we also find that putting on one extra kg, one half a pound, equates that I failed as anybody who's ever subscribed to diet culture. Personally, we've been boys for a second, me and that dieting life. I think the first diet I ever went on was, I must have been 9 or 10. And I always went on them with my mother because she thought that was what's gonna motivate me because I was not looking like all the other kids in my class. And she thought I was being made fun of, but she didn't know I was really comfortable being the funny fat girl. At that point, I'd found my calling, and I didn't need to be on diets, but she was also of the impression that, you know, I'm going to get all these diseases and die, so she needs to save her child. So she would go on diets with me because that's that support I needed, and I always felt very ashamed about food. It got to the place where I would no longer eat in public because then, with dieting most of my life, I realized very quickly that somebody seeing a fat person eating is an assumption that is made quickly that you're always doing that. Like, not again, girl. Are you always putting something in your mouth? And so I just stopped eating in public. As a teenager, I would eat in the toilets in high school. Like, you know, next to somebody shitting. And I would go back into the actual lunchroom and pretend like, oh, no, I'm not hungry. I'll just have a yogurt. Because I realized that people treated me better when they thought I was starving because I was overweight. And it can happen to anyone at any age. Rachel had this to say.
I don't like being told that I'm too big, that I can't even be dropped at the place that I chose. I'll be told to alight because I'm too big. I'll be told to dress a certain way because I'm too big. I'll be told I can't show that part of my body because I'm too big. I'll be told I don't look nice like the other girls because I'm too big. And it really hurt me. It has hurt me so much that I'm even afraid of a scale. I cannot look at a scale. I cannot step on a scale. I cannot even observe someone else stepping on a scale. And this is the phobia I have. The body dysmorphia that even if I lose weight and the clothes that I buy, I don't want to believe that my size has changed.
So going back to the nutritionist I told you about, who I think is an amazing, she's an anti-diet dietitian. Her name is Christy Harrison, and she wrote Anti-Diet. If you go on her website, by the way, she sends like a free little audio step-by-step on how to just like unmess with your brain on how you think about food. And she talks a lot about intuitive eating. Now, intuitive eating is taking away that pressure of a diet and mostly just eating because that's what your body needs. And you're not guilting and there's no feelings of shame around food. There's no feelings of guilt or bad foods. It's just like, what does your body need right now? There's times where you probably skip a meal because you're just not hungry, right? That was intuitive. You weren't trying to starve yourself. You weren't, you know, and now there's this idea that like there's diets where you do starve yourself for a few hours and then you eat. That's like a payoff, high five. Or you starve yourself for a few days and then you eat. Or you like eat everything but not these ones. Or like there's just so much. But intuitive eating kind of brings it down to what does your body need? Because every single body is different, right? like Rachel said, for her, her body fluctuates easily. It's easy for her to gain weight. It's easy for her to lose weight. But other people, maybe they plateau. Maybe they reach a weight where, like, that's just their body's place and they're not moving from there. But intuitive eating kind of tells you that what you eat is what your body needs. So trust that you understand what your body needs and don't feel guilt or shame about it. There's the idea that if you wake up in the morning and you want to eat a whole meal, you want to eat rice and stew and spinach and a chapo, you eat it because that's what your body needs. If you want to eat a piece of chocolate because you want to eat a piece of chocolate, there shouldn't be a deeper meaning in it. It doesn't mean that now, oh my God, you fell off the wagon, because what that creates is this toxic idea that when you fall off the wagon, you might as well stay off the wagon and then you'll get back to it when you get back to it, right? Like, I ate one piece of chocolate, I'm now bad, so I'm just gonna eat all the chocolates, all the things, all of them, I'm gonna binge, and then on Monday, I'm gonna start that diet. It's a yo-yo effect, and according to studies, only 20% of diets actually work.
And so after that, I just decided I'll stop exercising because there's no point. If no one will see it, then who am I? Who am I to see it myself? So I stopped exercising for a while. And when I stopped exercising, now I started hearing the critics. Every time I would walk into a mall, old ladies would look at me and say, look at her wading like a duck.
And I'm talking about all diets. So 20% of people who go on diets actually see success. Most of the times you lose the weight and then you gain it right back because you are putting your body in a state of starvation that when your body actually normalizes that starvation, then you start to lose weight, right? But you just have one slip up and your body's like, boo, I like this better. And now you're on this endless wheel of like, oh my God, I'm never gonna fit into these jeans again. And we need to talk about the idea of like buying clothes for your thinner self, that one day I'm gonna wear these jeans. Don't do that to you. Buy clothes that give you joy. Dress the way you need to dress to make yourself happy. Because if you love yourself now, you love yourself no matter where your body thinks it's gonna change, okay? So overweight people are apparently lazy and dumb. According to facts and research and media trends in the last 10 or so years, fat people actually face increasing discrimination around the world, and we have kind of accepted it. It's not an insult. Like, you're not insulting somebody from what you assume they were born like. You're not insulting them on race, on abilities. You're insulting them because you think they did this to themselves. So society's kind of accepted it. It's like, you're just being really good. You're looking out for the world right now, and it's messed up. So Bruce Slade worked on a campaign where he was talking about how fat people are a problem. It's an epidemic. Obesity is an epidemic around the world and it's happening. And he said, even he was shocked because he was talking about obesity as a problem. But when he looked at the comments section of his articles, the tone of the many comments he saw was, and I quote him, atrocious. Because many people described how fat people take up too much space on the bus, and they bog down the health system, and they are expensive for everyone who's thinner around them, and that all this medical intervention is being wasted on fat people. And it's no fault in anyone. I can't even blame somebody for fat shaming because this is images we see all the time. It's gone to the place where even on the news, if you're listening to somebody talking about, you know, the epidemic, the obesity epidemic in the world, they're kind of cropped out and lost the humanity of fat people, and it becomes these headless fat bodies just carrying crisps around and being, you know, being videotaped and pictured without their consent because apparently they're not humans, and it's just fat bodies with no heads just walking around and showing the world, like, look at how fat and gross people are. And it feels so inhumane to me. It feels like, why are you taking away the humanity from somebody just to make a point? You can say it differently, like, do better, media. You can talk to people who are heavier and of being heavy and the health risks that come with it without it being a situation where you're like, gross, look at this, yuck, our health system is failing because of this. There has to be a different way to have that conversation. I'm going to read for you some of the mean comments that I've interacted with, that people all over the world have interacted with, that even the New York Times published so that people can be more awake to what they're saying and how they would feel. One man commented that he would never consider having sex with a fat woman. This was under an article talking about the increase of mental health stigma towards fat people. And that was his comment. Nope, I ain't never tapping that. Another suggested that fat people could come in handy as their blubber could be used for biofuel in the future. Huh? This is the New York Times. This is a real thing that somebody wrote. I mean, I have interacted with the idea that you would be so pretty if. I think that's more hurtful. I'd rather just call me a whale and leave me alone. Don't tell me that, like, you have such a pretty face only if. There should not be conditions on how pretty I am. I just is pretty. Leave us alone. And right now I want to talk about doctors. Doctors and obese patients is just, it is oil and water. And every person who is overweight will tell you that at some point they felt like every time they go in to see a doctor, their weight becomes the issue. So in my inbox on Instagram, I had a woman reach out to me because she realized that I'd had a child 5 years ago, and she told me that she is a big girl and she is pregnant with her first baby right now, and she hasn't gone to see a gyna because she's afraid of the judgment, and she is going on 4 months. You should be able to go into your clinics as soon as you find out you're pregnant. You should be able to be going into prenatal care quickly. But she's afraid because she knows how doctors be, and she asked me, the doctor I used, if she felt, I felt like there was judgment, and I kind of did, but I used a really great gyna, and she was pretty dope about it. There was some point where I was vomiting so much, like I was not able to put anything down, that I was actually losing weight. Now, if I was a smaller woman, this would be of concern to my doctor, but instead I got congratulated. When I was 7 months pregnant and I was losing weight rapidly, I was congratulated by my doctor because I could not keep food down. These are the examples that we see every day. So research has shown that doctors may spend less time with obese patients and fail to refer them for diagnostic tests. One study asked 122 doctors, and the doctors reported that seeing bigger patients was a greater waste of time if they were heavier, and that physicians would like their jobs less as their patients increase in size. That heavier patients were viewed to be more annoying, and that physicians felt less patient with heavier patients than they would with a regular person. I don't even know where to start, because I can give you multiple examples of how I have felt going in to see a doctor and it just being about my weight. One time I had a boil on my armpit, and I was maybe 17, and I just wanted to go in there and see like if it's infected, because I was having fevers, I was pretty sick. And he told my mom, he wasn't even speaking to me, he didn't look at me. He just looked at my armpit, looked at my mom, and said she should just lose weight. That she would be so pretty and get so many boyfriends if she just lost weight. I mean, my armpit still hurt, but that didn't help. Thanks, sir. And then also, when I was much younger, I started having some pretty serious migraines. And I kept going to see a doctor, and I keep getting like over-the-counter painkillers, you know, the Panadols and the Tylenols, because the doctor just said it's because of your weight. Later to find out, it was a whole other disorder, but thanks. It took a serious migraine where half my face went completely numb before anybody took me seriously, where I was vomiting bile, green bile, before anybody said, hey, maybe we should look at her brain. Before it was just like, if she just lost weight, it's her fat head that's squishing her brain. No, it's unfortunate that so many fat people and heavier people have stories like this, where you break your finger and your doctor tells you to lose weight. Like, are you gonna help me or not? Just let's start there. So let's just go through the research once again before we wrap this up. UCLA reported that 34% of people with high BMI are susceptible to diabetes, high blood pressure, while 21% of people with normal weight are susceptible to the same disorders and diseases. So that's not a big difference, but still we want to believe that fat people are more unhealthy. And this leads us to having a lot of guilt about our bodies. And a lot of fat people will tell you that they have some serious trauma behind diet culture and what it's done to them. And people like me who had to get into a serious medical diet at such a young age, where I was getting injected by, I had to check this diet out years later because I didn't realize I had locked up this trauma for so long, where my mom made me do this diet, where we would go twice a week and they would stab me in the stomach with some injection, and it felt like bleach coursing through my veins. It was so painful, and it would leave bruises all over me. And to this day, I don't know what was being injected into me. I don't know the effects that it's had on me, but I also do know that that business went out of business. And secondly, that they were not supposed to be trying this diet out on anyone under the age of 21. I was 17. It's wild to me. And you see, it feels like the medical world has failed fat people, because we've been told that our problem is our fat. And the diet world has failed fat people, because instead of using a one-on-one basis where we tell you, what does your body need? Because your goal shouldn't be losing a shit ton of weight to be able to come out and people to compliment you. It should be to eat what your body needs, and your body will find it's normal. To eat what your body requires, and your body will figure itself out. That everybody is welcome to this space of talking about healthy eating. That even, like, I know a lot of, like, fat vegans who don't say they're vegan in public, because everyone, the first question they get is, like, but why are you fat then? But, like, there's a lot of people now who have found healing in their past traumas about being overweight and what society has kind of taught them about themselves, and are now in a place of healthy eating and loving themselves and walking and exercising and getting out in the sun and doing things for themselves because they love themselves and not with the goal of looking a certain way. And they found more happiness now, whether they stayed big or got small. I found people who only found joy after getting surgery to reduce the size of their stomach and then losing a lot of weight now are seeing more happiness. But even then, weight loss surgery will not work if you don't do the work in your head, because what you think about yourself remains the same no matter what you look like. And how your relationship is with food remains the same no matter what your weight is at the end. So you do have to be mindful about that. So I'm going to talk about backhanded compliments. First of all, don't tell anybody that, you know, you'd be so pretty if. If you have to put an if, no matter what you're going at, if you were taller, if you were shorter, if you were skinnier, if you were fatter, if you had a bigger butt, don't. That's not a compliment. Never will be, never was. I disqualify you from this race. However, there is the idea that complimenting somebody when they lose a lot of weight is a good thing. I've gotten a lot of compliments where I was so sick and I lost a lot of weight and I was at my sickest, and that was when I was getting the most compliments, because my health is not as important as how small I can be, because that's where I'm more valued. So when you see somebody losing a lot of weight or gaining a lot of weight, just unless they bring it up, shut up. Shut your face. Shut your mouth. Don't jealous them. Leave them alone. Don't compliment somebody, oh, you've lost so much weight, you look so good. Because I'm going to be honest, what that tells me is, oh my God, my worst fear is confirmed. You truly thought I was so ugly and so undesirable and so unlovable that now, because I look more normal, now is when I'm worthy of basics like respect, basics like just common sense, not being a dick to people. This is when you think I'm worthy. Before, I was not. You don't know how that is the worst fear of most fat people. So we'll go back to the study as we wrap it up, according to Melissa Conrad, a doctor, Benjamin C. Wedrow, a doctor, who conducted a study in the Archives of Internal Medicine, that basically concluded health is more than what meets the eye. Kindness should be a given, no matter what anybody looks like. If somebody's struggling with their weight, not. If somebody is different than you in any way, if somebody is the same as you in any way, if somebody is your friend, your enemy, your nemesis, kindness is all that we require from you. It is the bare minimum. All bodies are good bodies. All bodies are good bodies and deserve care and deserve joy and deserve respect and deserve kindness. All bodies. And that means if you are a fat girl and you decide to lose the weight, your body's still a good body. If you had a baby and all of a sudden you became a fat girl that you've never experienced in your life, and now you're wondering, WTF, your body's a good body. If you gained the COVID-15, your body's a good body. And now, as the world is opening up, you get to debut that body. Like, oh my God, that's a big deal. Work. Don't give in to the pressure to be anybody's ideal of a body. Your body is a good body. All bodies are good bodies. I'm going to wrap it up there. Thank you so much for joining me again on this week's episode of I'm Trying, I Promise. And I will be here next week on Monday as well with another episode. So make sure you head over to everywhere you're listening to me on, every platform for podcasts, and like, subscribe, share. Also, find me on my social medias, on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Facebook at That Chick Linda, or just type Linda Nyangweso, LyndaNyangweso. You can also hit me up on email if you'd like to leave me a voice note of a story you want to tell and just give me your perspective on it. Please send me a voice note there. It's imtryinglinda@gmail.com. I'm trying, L-Y-N-D-A, one word, @gmail.com. I respond ASAP as soon as I possibly can, because also, like we keep talking about, I am a procrastinator, but I'm trying, I promise. Have a good one. Keep trying.